The Volume.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Kyle Hamilton, along with
KJ Wallace,
Connor Adigan,
and Cam Hart.
Cam, welcome back.
How
you feeling, man?
I've been chilling, bro.
Cameron,
been on the couch for like 100+ hours, bro. Sitting there.
What you been watching,
bro? I watched Outer Banks in 2 days.
That's hard.
Yeah,
that's hard.
And then I'm on like episode 8 or something. Of Ozark.
Mm-hmm.
I finished this show called In the Dark. I've been all over Netflix, bro. All over. It's just smooth, though.
Ozark is funny.
Yeah.
You seen Ozark, Kyle?
Yeah, Ozark is fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was watching the new season last night. I'm on like episode 6 of the new season.
So am I.
Where's your pain at right now? Do you have any pain?
Like on a level? On a scale?
Yeah, like 1 to 10.
I'd probably say like a 6. I threw away all my pain medication, bro. It was making me angry.
You was and angry.
Bro, is my roommate's
going to tell you that.
Cam, I came down to microwave taquitos, and Cam looks at me. He's like, what the hell are you doing? I'm like, bro, I'm just microwaving taquitos.
Bro, and I say, like, I don't know how Grace, because Grace has been here, like, all week. I don't know how she dealt with it, bro. For some reason, I just was getting really angry at it. Every little thing.
So. Shorty held you down, dude.
She did.
Cause I couldn't
she
do
did.
It.
She did. Bro.
I tried to come sit and talk to you for a little bit, a couple of times, and I was like, bro, this dude's not. He's not feeling me right now.
Nah.
What were you taking?
Oxycodone.
Oh yeah, that's what they gave me after heart surgery, bro. I can see so easily how people get addicted to stuff like that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Ooh. Obviously. Well, not bro. For me. It was done the opposite effect for me.
But like it would like get rid of my pain like so easily. I would just like melt in the bed.
Oh yeah.
I can see how people could get addicted easily.
But
knock this out.
I don't know. Right now, I think pain gonna be pretty consistent for a few weeks.
Well, you got folks to take care of you, man.
Do you get back to like rehabbing and stuff at like the Goog?
Well, I rehabbed the last 2 days.
Gotcha.
Just getting out of sling, moving around, moving my elbow because it's been stuck in this like this position for who knows how long. But I'll be able to like I get my stitches out next Monday, so I'll be able to like. Work out with the team, like do lower body stuff. So,
do you have any post surgery like funny stories? You know, how everybody just be drunk off the.
Oh yeah. let's see. All right, so when I first came out, and I was pretty like your dad has said, I was like pretty like groggy and like angry at everybody again the drugs. But I woke up and there was this lady like in my face like in my face, and I'm like, so that happened. Then she's like, well, you gotta do this, that, a third. I'm not really can't really listen right now because
I feel you.
So I don't know what she's saying. I'm just like, where's my ride? I'm trying to go home, this, a third. Like, your ride's outside, but I had to tell you this. I'm like, can you please just take me outside? So I put my sweatpants on, but I didn't put my shirt on. So I have this coat, no shirt. And the surgery out. And I'm walking in the lobby of the hospital.
Mind you, it's like 20 degrees outside.
Yes,
it like, ain't been more than 30 in 2 weeks.
And like I got Birkenstocks, no socks, thin Lulu sweatpants. And I'm just walking out in the middle of the lobby. Everybody looking at me.
Ashy ankles.
Ashy.
Bro, you're
everything. And then, so we get to the car. And she was like, she was telling Grace, she was like, well, he didn't really want to listen to me. It's not a third. But she's talking through my side of the door.
Close the door at her. That's how you close the door at her, bro.
Yeah, I was like, it's cold. And I just closed the door. I was like, let's go. So, what's the Alliance? Whoever works at Alliance, surgery center, I apologize.
I think it's Allied, right?
Allied?
I think so.
In Southland. I'm sorry. I apologize. That wasn't my intention.
It's not really your fault. I mean, you're like way super out of it. So
yeah.
Cam, did B-Rat do your surgery?
Yeah.
He did?
Yeah, he did. Mm-hmm.
For those who don't know, B-Rat is Brian Radigan, father of Connor Radigan.
Pops.
Here on the podcast. This is a question for Connor. I was actually just wondering this. Can you do surgery on your kin? Like, can you do surgery on your family?
You can, but in terms of, like, liability and stuff, like, it's up to the surgeon. You can do, like, if, I'm not going to jinx anything, but he could if he wanted to. Like, it's allowed, but typically you don't because, like, he would observe something that happened. Or I've actually asked him before. He said, like, I would observe, but I wouldn't do it because, like, I don't want, you know.
Bro, I'm imagining somebody else doing Connor's surgery, Naga Wood, and B-Rat's just like, man, give me that shit. Let me do it.
Ain't doing it right. Now my kid, give me this shit after this.
Wait, have you ever had surgery?
Mm-mm.
Never?
Not gonna worry about that one.
Not here right now.
Has any of your siblings or your mom?
No, just my dad.
Oh, sheesh.
Dad had like five.
Not again. That's crazy, though. Yeah. He's never been put in that position. Pretty sure there's probably a lot of... All right, yeah, let's stop talking about it.
But Cam, glad you're feeling well, buddy. Glad you're doing better, bro.
I'll be good. I'm in good hands.
I miss Cam, bro. I ain't gonna lie.
What was that last week?
I don't know what the hell that was. I was just sitting on the couch, Kyle. So, like, me and Connor got to walk up the stairs and go to our room. And I would just look at him and be like, what up, bro? You good? You need something? You just,
No, bro. The couch has been my bedroom for the last 5 days, 6 days. Yeah.
You sleep there last night?
Yeah, I guess I'm going to sleep there until I get the stitches out.
Yeah,
bro. Sleeping like this, bro.
Is this better or worse than your other surgery?
I mean, it's better.
It's better about the same.
I know everything now. So I know like when the pain is going to wear away. Because I have like a nerve block in my neck. And it's like a ball full of like medicine that's supposed to be in there for a week. But once it runs out, you could take it out. So I knew when to take that out. Like last time I left it in for like another 4 or 5 days. So it's just like no medicine. And it's just like a wire in my neck.
Yeah.
And just for no purpose. Yeah, now I just know how to sleep and stuff like that. So
definitely better in the long run.
Yeah, I'd be straight.
Definitely better in the long run.
Straight. How you been doing, bro?
About you, Kegs?
What you been up to? What's the day today?
I'm good, man. Just chilling out here working. I was grinding today, bro. I was on the field for like 2.5 hours today, like working on 40, like doing DB drills. It was tough. And then I had the lower body lift, 8. And then tomorrow we kind of have like massages and stuff like that. It's more of a chill day tomorrow. But
yo, I have a question for you. Don't you know how like
I have people, an answer.
I don't know if you have an answer, bro. Don't you know how people always are like, you're not going to get faster? Have you ever heard anyone say that to you?
Pre-draft?
No, just people in general. Like
you can't teach speed.
You can't teach speed. Yeah, that type of thing. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah, but like, to an extent. You can, no?
Do you believe in that or no?
I believe there's people that are born just fast in general. Mm-hmm. But then I also believe there's people that have certain athletic ability that can use it to get faster. You feel me?
Like what KJ was saying, if someone was not as coordinated, but they were like athletically gifted, and they learned how to run properly. And they could get faster. But I guess inherently they were fast to begin with.
Yeah, that's what I agree with.
I don't know.
Like you can't just be like you can't go from being hella slow to hella fast.
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah, no.
You can take the running mechanics, but you can't teach speed.
But that's a part of speed, is what I'm trying to get at.
I don't know.
Like running mechanics.
I would say it's like
sure, definitely.
I would say it's like you can teach explosion. Cause like we've been doing like explosive stuff in the weight room, like working on explosion stuff like that. And like my numbers there are going up, and I can see like a direct correlation to like my 10-yard split, like me exploding out and like my vert, stuff like that. And so I feel like you can teach like strength to beat a clock, but like I don't know if you can coach top speed as much as like something else. I feel like that's naturally gifted.
Yeah, that's what I agree with. And I was my original question to you was how, because obviously you're probably getting it at the highest level that anyone fucking planet Earth can get it. So how do you think that is gonna, or how has it changed your opinion on that question, or how has it impacted you, or what?
I feel like they can improve a lot in terms of your time against the clock. I don't know how much they can improve like your true like athletic ability to run fast, like certain techniques and stuff, and like your foot placement, like all this little stuff can like take down so much time. So technically you're getting faster, but like it's just pretty much being more efficient with your movements, if that makes sense.
This is also a 40 is more tech than just
running. Like Braden Lindsay will always be fast, right?
Yeah, fast. Now, on the contrary, Blake Fisher will always be slow.
How much is Blake weigh?
Yo, he's up there, bro.
Yeah,
he's up there, bro.
Imagine if Blake was hella fast, like 4.3. Like 4.3, Joe just running 6. What are you like 6.7?
Like 6.3. Yeah, that's
whatever. I don't know. I don't even. That's crazy how disconnected we are. Like skill positions are from like O-line, D-line, I don't be knowing nothing about
that. Yeah, same.
I don't be knowing. That's as far same. As their weight and heights, so I don't be knowing nothing.
That's why that was so crazy. Remember last year, the combine, I forget, who was it? There's two guys from Penn State that ran like 4.3s. Mm-hmm. At like
two linebackers.
Yeah. Was Michael Parsons was one. And
The dude that played for the Ravens.
Anway.
Yeah.
That's very unique. And like, who was it? It was Myles Garrett. That doesn't, I mean, that is crazy.
What did he run?
Or
he ran like 4.6 at like
290. Yeah.
Paul?
Sheesh.
Yeah, a little quick fact check from Paul.
Yeah. I think it was 4.64. He jumped a 40, I think. Like, he was just a freak. Like, y'all seen that?
He jumped 40 inches. Like,
they say he ran a 4.48 after Brown's practice.
A 4.4?
Oh.
After practice?
Yeah. 4.48.
Yeah, he's bro, a freak, what?
Bro. After freak. Practice?
He's a freak.
Nah.
I see why tackles get paid so much, because they got to block dudes
like
him.
Block that.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy.
That's why I would, if I could make my body, I would do that.
Yeah.
Freaky
Dan. Freaky Dan. Like,
yes, bro.
Yeah.
Long
arms.
Yeah.
Straight first round.
Have y'all seen that? First round. Have y'all seen that? I was talking to somebody about how, like, people can look so different in football, but, like, we all play the same sport. Like, I feel like no other sport like that. There's a picture of Hunter Renfro, like, doing some normal stuff.
And DK.
And then, like, DK. And DK is like, these dudes play the same position.
Same position.
It's just, like, funny.
Cooking, dude. But, both of them.
I know.
That's crazy.
We have a transfer specialist, transfer kicker, who I can say this because I know him, and like he knows. I mean, he's aware of this too. He's like, have you seen anything about this guy? So he's like 5'5", like 140, and so like, yeah. To that point, you look at him and you look at like Blake Fisher.
Why are you laughing, bro?
And you're like,
no, he's cold though. He's cold.
He's cold, he's bro. Cold. He's Arkansas baby, State. Cold, bro. He cold, bro.
And he's a 6-year, 23 years old.
Leading scorer at Arkansas State, bro. He in the record books.
He's all right. I'm not trying to get in this dude's business, but I got to know, like, how will he be putting numbers up in the weight room? Like,
I was talking to him about it. And he was like at Arkansas State, they didn't do any traditional lifts. So they do like a lot of like split squat and like dumbbell bench press, stuff like that, like machine work. That was their coach philosophy. Like, you didn't need to do any power cleans, bench press, or squat to get explosive.
He's got a clean.
So he went from that using like dumbbells for 5 years to in his 6th year, he has to come to Bayless at 5'5", 140. So he's been, I don't know. From what he's saying, he was like, he's adapting well. Bayless's work is quote unquote easier, but I don't know.
Hell no. Why are you lying to you like that?
That's what he said, bro. That's what he said.
Bayless work easier?
It was our first week, though. Well, I'll ask him 3 weeks.
Where his body like, oh.
I was talking to Nick Jackson at UVA, and like, obviously, they just turned over their whole program. Like, coaches left and stuff like that, and they got new strength coaches, obviously. He was telling me how, y'all know, like, the stories Nick used to tell us. Like, they would run him to death and, like, do all this crazy stuff. I was talking the other day. He was like, they do more like their groups are like of 8 people, and like they'll do all this other stuff. Like, they don't do traditional lifts like that, like you were saying. And like, their conditioning will be like speed work, like strictly working on speed and agility. And I was like, dang, I hope it works. But like, that's crazy how they can like go from it's like the exact opposite. They go from the crazy part.
They have like small lift groups.
Yeah, they got like small
groups.
How did
they do that? Do you know how they fit that the whole team in one day then?
I guess. I don't know. But it's crazy the different philosophies of like strength conditioning.
Some people will call that modern philosophy too, quote unquote, not doing bench press, not doing squat. Because people think that's old school, but I don't know. I think that's pretty much like squat, at least power clean.
You need that for football, bro.
Need that.
Squat, power clean. I can see bench, but if you're not benching, at least you're doing dumbbell incline, like stuff like that. But
it was adjustment for me getting here, because like, I haven't had a bar on my back yet, and like, I haven't power cleaned, done none of that, and like, I still feel like I'm getting super work.
Oh, y'all haven't cleaned
and
yet?
Like, I'm on like the Kaiser. We don't do none of that, no Olympic lifts for real, well, other than bench. But like, we have to do that for the combine. Like, I don't even know if we would bench if we didn't have to do that for the combine.
That's because you guys are training, like, I don't know, you've done that for 4 years. You know what I mean? So once you get to a point where, that's why I don't think, nice. I mean, from what I've heard from the dudes that I know in the NFL, they aren't like, their off-season workouts aren't like, oh, go put 405 on your back and squat that 6 times.
Yeah.
They're doing like stuff to make sure that they stay.
Yeah,
and stuff
yeah,
like
yeah.
that. They already did all the heavy lifting and heavy power cleaning and stuff like that in college. So once you get to that point, especially in your position, y'all are training for the draft. I don't think putting that weight on your back would even be smart to do.
But like offensive linemen though, defensive linemen, you think they still gotta do? Because I can see skill position. Like skill position, I think the focus is probably more on just staying lean, staying in shape, but like more on the field work. Because like the weight room is just kind of like to support that. But offensive linemen, D linemen, they probably got to lift heavy still.
I mean, the way the games change, everyone's got, like, you don't see a ton of linebackers that are like 255, 260, right? Like when my dad played, it was like, you got to eat as much as you can, bench as much as you can, squat as much as you can, right? And then like, you'll play. Just hopefully just like you're bigger than the running back that's coming at you, right?
Yeah.
But like everyone's like Lou Wu, right? Like one of the best linebackers in the league, but he's not 250. He's probably, I don't even know what he is, but
220. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's just the way the game's going. And I think the workouts that you do, I don't know, they kind of specialize now. And I think that's kind of smart, to be honest.
Also, it's like, I feel like the philosophy behind it, and like, I don't disagree with either one. Like, I feel like all the Olympic lifts, all the power clean definitely helped me with my explosion at Notre Dame. But like, all the stuff we're doing now, I feel like the philosophy is like, you're never going to squat 405 in a game. Like, you're going to drive like your knee through to get faster, close space, or like jump and like explode, rather than if we go through more like football, like athletic movement. So, I mean, there's two ways to do it. And maybe you can mix them both, but it's definitely the team aspect
in college. I think that's why people do it more often. It's cool to have everyone, like, we did 225 tests today. And it's cool to have everyone like around you, like screaming at you to get that weight up. I think that is probably like a big reason why you still do it in college. You know?
It's funny you say that, because like when we all first got here, we don't know each other. It's like we're under the bar, like, struggling. Nobody's saying anything.
No, like now, nobody like, around me. Thanks, bitch.
Bro, I'm like trying to get it up, and it's just silence. Like,
you want to go gas?
You want to go gas? No, I was literally like, before I got into the bench last time, I was like, can y'all please gas me? Like, it was just like that in college. But
nah, I was going to say, and to also add to this point, again, you guys already did 4 years of college. You guys are some of the best athletes that's going into the NFL, one of the best businesses for sports in the world. But we also have 17 and 18 year olds come into the program who aren't nowhere near that, and they're trying to get there. So
that's
what I do. That's true.
You got to build that base.
Yeah, you have
to build that base.
Or else is this going to fall?
Yeah, definitely.
That's crazy. I was looking at, I saw a picture of myself in high school the other day. I'm like, I thought I was going to come play college football. I'm tripping.
Well, like, you it's look crazy at some of the early enrollees, and you're like, then you think about, like, they're seniors in high school.
Oh, like, yeah. You know? I'm looking at Audric and, like, Prince Khali last year. I'm like, bro, what are y'all on in high school?
But
there's some that are,
they're, like, small. Like, think about when you and I came in, we were, like, scraping 190. Yeah,
facts. Gerber.
It's crazy.
Yeah, if that, yeah, soaking wet.
No doubt, bro. That's crazy. But I just think that goes into Bayless, honestly.
Yeah, no, definitely Bayless gets you right.
All right, now we're going to transition to the outside of the garage questions. First one has to do with this past playoff weekend, which is probably the craziest weekend of football I've seen in a while. It was wild. But it comes from Tom Oliver. The Bills-Chiefs game from last weekend was awesome, but highlighted the flaws in the NFL overtime system. Do you guys believe the NFL should change their OT rules? If so, would you like them to adopt the college format? Or is there a better format that you can think of?
100%.
Yeah, they need to change it.
I think the college rules gives like a fair advantage to both teams. Like, games aren't won by the coin toss, you know what I mean? And I'm not going to say the coin toss like won that game, but just in like...
I mean, statistically speaking, it does. It's just every team that's won is 10-1.
Yeah.
This season, so.
And it's just, they win a coin toss, they go down and score, and then that's it. Like, I'm a defensive player, and I'm like, Chief, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's crazy. So, and in college, you at least get the opportunity to get a rebuttal, no matter if it's 9 overtime or 10 overtimes. I don't know.
I mean, just the way that game was going, it robbed you of so much fun just to see, like, Josh Allen, like, respond to that, you know? Because, like, back and forth, like scored like 25 points in the last 2 minutes or whatever it was.
I think it was like 31 in the last 2 minutes like and
that's,
overtime.
That's and like that's the crazy. Game ends when they score, you're like, damn, I didn't even get to see the Bills try to like avenge that, you know? Yeah. And I definitely think that they should change it. I don't know if it should be exactly what college has, because the NFL is a little different. I think they should go from like the 50 or like the, not the 25. I think it's a little.
I agree with that. I don't think it should be as close.
Yeah.
But I think the format should be the same.
I would say they probably should change it, but for changing it, like obviously you want the other team to get opportunity. But at the same time, I was thinking like, all right, your NFL defense, just stop them from scoring a touchdown within 75 yards.
Yeah.
I feel like that should be another thing thought of. And like changing it to the college rules, these dudes are getting paid like a lot of money and like their bodies are obviously their job. And obviously when they're out there in the game, like you're going to put your body on the line, like you're a football player at the end of the day. But like say that happens like week four of a regular season and like a LSU Texas A&M game happens and you end up putting like extra three quarters in somebody's body, like that's more like more opportunities for injury, more opportunities for this and that. But like
they did change it though.
At any point, but
after you score like twice, it's just 2-point conversions.
But I think that I see both sides.
I can see like the change in the rule. Like you're talking about, that's the first thing I thought about, is guys putting their body on the line and stuff like that. Because I mean, literally, that's the game I thought about, the Texas A&M game, because it went to what, 9? You know, that's just too much.
Yeah, it was 72. Yeah, so like, it was crazy.
There needs to be a counterpart to it. Like, you can't just score and then that's it. That's kind of whack. And it's
I think the only other counterpart would be to let the other team score, though. That's the thing.
Maybe they could do like a, maybe could do something where it's like first team that wins the coin toss goes down, scores. Okay, then the next team gets a chance. If they score, then it's like a field goal battle back and forth. You see what I'm saying? Like, you just send the field goal team on there.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you could do like the first one is like from 50. And then let's say they both make it 55, then they both make it, then now you're at, well, I don't know if they're going to make 60s, but I mean, what's the name from Baltimore Wood, but
Justin Tucker. Yeah,
maybe something like that, just to keep people off the field.
Well, this is like contrary to what happened in the 49ers game, but that's like honestly putting all the pressure on one player on a team.
I think it should be 2-point conversion.
Think so?
Because that involves the entire offense and entire defense. And you're not marching down the field, right? Just one play. You know, so obviously it's not going to be easy for them to play over. Like the Penn State versus
Illinois.
They had like, what, like 5 or 6? I don't know.
I thought the field goal thing would be smooth because I'm looking at it from get majority of the guys off the field so they don't have to risk injury. You see what I'm saying?
If your team lost because your kicker missed a field goal.
And the one how many, the 10,
you got to think about
that's
insane. That's the nature of being a kicker. Like that happens a lot.
Kickers would get paid a lot more.
Right. But that's the nature of being a kicker. Like, a lot of times kickers are called in to save games, you know what I'm saying, tie games up. Like, but that's just the nature of it.
I was just saying, like, offense can touch the field one time that whole overtime with those rules, though. So at that point, is it really football? You know what I mean? Like, if you abide by those rules, one team scores, the other team scores, that's the last time that they'll touch the field, and then the game goes on for another 15 minutes, but there's no offense defense, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, like, that's what I'm saying. You still at least got a chance to see them go back and forth, and it wasn't just a, all right, they won the toss, they scored the game over with, like that. At the end of the day, there's no real, like, you can't have them play five overtimes back and forth. Like, that's OD.
The way I think about it, football is football. No matter what level it is, who's playing this, that, and third, like, I don't know. I just think the NFL rule is so lopsided in college. Yes, it wouldn't protect the players per se, or the older players or the vets, but at the end of the day, it would get the job done.
I don't understand the idea of not giving the other team a chance.
Yeah.
The thing I was saying with the defense having, like, getting a stop, I can understand both teams get a chance in the college game because, like, getting a stop from the 25-yard line is hard, whether that be holding to 0 points is really hard because of field goal, but touchdown, like, it's still hard. But, like, if you kick it through the end zone, the ball's on, what, the 25 in the NFL? Yeah. You have to stop them from going 75 yards, scoring a touchdown, game's over. Could they kick a field goal, you have an opportunity to still win the game or keep the game going. If you stop them completely, you just need a field goal to win the game. I don't know. I feel like it's a lot that goes into it. Also, like, I was just thinking, why are we still using a coin to decide? Like, I feel like that's so primal. Like, that's such prehistoric way to do it. Like, a metal coin.
Fair. What is your suggestion, my guy?
Well, I think it should be like the higher seed gets to choose where they get the ball first.
So how are you gonna do the? I guess the higher seed in the regular season too.
Oh,
how are you gonna do week one?
How are you gonna do week two?
Well, I guess.
All right, week one coin toss. Week two.
Yeah.
What's wrong with this coin? It's the fairest thing. It's the fairest thing on this planet.
What sport do you know that gives the ball to the higher seed? or gives the advantage.
What if they got an easier schedule? What if they
no, like at least the NBA has a jump ball.
Oh,
like,
yeah, well, coin toss. Like that's a cool to a some coin toss.
The coin toss, you got a 50-50 shot at it.
That is not a coin toss. The coin toss is not a coin toss. Fair. It's a jump ball. You have to jump and tap it.
More fair than a jump ball. Jump ball.
What if they did a jump ball?
They should just have them do some like
jump ball. They should throw the ball up. We're gonna catch that drink.
That's what I'm saying. They should just have something crazy to decide, like two best players play Connect Four or something like that. Like something wild, something not related to football. That was something crazy. No, bro.
The coin toss is the most logical thing.
It was logical.
Do you think it's actually 50-50?
Yes.
How many three-sided coins on that little side in the grass, bro?
I actually got a question wrong in third grade on my math quiz because I said a coin toss was 50-50, and he was like, no, it could technically land on the side of the coin. But like in the history of coin tosses, do you think it's 50-50? Like, do you think it's landed on heads as much as it lands on tails?
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's not as much?
That's how probability works out.
If we flip it 10 times right now, it can land on tails seven times.
But that's how probability works out. Over time, it'll be 50-50 even. Guaranteed.
Uh-oh. Yeah, but you have to keep going forever in order to reach
exactly. 50-50. If you stop at one point, like she's talking about from today on back, you think there's been 50-50.
I bet it's close to 50-50. I bet it is.
Very close.
Oh, it's very close.
I'll give you an example. This whole past season, Davidson didn't start the game one time.
Exactly.
Because we won the coin toss.
If you stop time, like if you go back from today, the moment that we're talking about right now, and go all the way back in time and talk about every coin toss.
Cam, you disproving your argument. The farther back you go, the more close it's going to be to 50%.
The more close it's going to be 50% if time keeps going. If you stop it at this conversation and go back and you count every tails and every hits.
Connor, bro, facts, please.
Facts.
Please.
No.
Facts. Please. What do you mean, please?
Please.
What do you mean,
it's
please?
It's science, Cam.
Yes.
It's science. Obviously. It's science.
Bro, you're not making sense. I'm saying from the conversation on, if we just count every coin toss, obviously there's not going to be a 50-50 exactly heads, exactly tails, KJ.
I understand that, but eventually, if you kept flipping coins.
If time keeps going, I'm not talking about.
That's how the coin works.
Yes, it's a 50-50. Obviously. No shit, Sherlock. I'm saying if we're talking about from this conversation.
Okay, go ahead.
Kyle asked a question right now.
Yes.
And he's saying, do you think there's been 50-50 in the past? Not what's happening in the future, in the past. And there's no way it could be. Probably works that way,
I understand that. But look, the reason why I'm saying that is because if it was in the past, right, it's going to be closer to 50-50 than it would be like 10% or 25%.
Exactly 50-50,
it's
though.
Nothing. It can't be exactly, but it'll that be closer and closer.
That was question. No one said that it was going to be 90-10. But no what one I'm said saying over distribution, bro. It's going to be close to 50-50, yes. Oh, no one says it's going to be slanted that way.
Kyle, what are you saying?
I miss this, bro.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that if you start at the beginning of time, maybe there's 100 heads and then there's 75 tails. You keep going, maybe there's 300 tails and then 200 heads. Like, it's always going to be uneven. But like, the further you go, like 100,000 years, like you can never get to 50-50.
Right, but that's the thing about it, though. It's the fairest.
Say something.
Yeah, go ahead. Because Connor knows the science. That's why I said, Connor, please. I just know I'm right. I'm not explaining.
This is not science.
It's mathematically going to be. It's not math. Science.
It's math.
No, I don't know shit. I just know it's going to be close to 50.
If you do.
I'm right. I know I'm right. Y'all just tripping. Y'all saying it.
Hopefully, a mathematician doesn't fact check me, but I'm pretty sure if you do an infinity number of times, you're guaranteed to get a 50-50.
Yes.
Whatever. I think we all agree on that.
Yes. Yes.
There's 90% chance that if you flip a coin 64 times, it'll be 50-50.
90%
chance. So there's a 90% chance of you doing it if you do it 64 times, and there's a 90% chance of you getting 50-50. If you do it 10 billion times from when the first coin was invented, there's a very good chance it's like a 50-50. From being
exactly. Exactly.
Yo, very close.
Bro, but exactly. Think about it.
Yeah, prove my point, right? What I said from the original thing that Kyle asked, that it will never be exactly 50-50. I never said it won't be close. I never said it won't be 90%.
There's argument that it can be, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's, if we talk nothing, about
but here's what we're getting
the first
at.
Coin flip until...
Okay, but here's what we're getting now, Kyle.
On Tuesday, January 25th, it would not be exactly 50-50.
And it won't be. It won't be.
That's what
you're
I
right.
said.
You're
that's
right.
my
you're
original
right.
point.
Right.
And
you're
you don't
right.
have
you're
to
right.
say anything else about it. That's but my that, original point.
So that's the point you're making?
That's what I was
that's
saying
That's a stupid
from the
point.
Jump.
Doesn't make that's any a, sense, bro.
No,
I'm saying.
Pause.
Listen. The first thing we were saying, though, Kyle was talking about the fairness of the coin, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
We're sitting here talking about it's the fairest thing that you could possibly use to decide two sides, correct?
I agree. Yeah.
Right. I know it's not going to be exactly 50, but it's the fairest shot of getting to exactly 50%.
Listen.
Okay, so you're right. You're right.
Good.
You're right. God damn.
If we flip 100 million times and it's 51-49, that 1% is a million difference. Like, it's still a very large difference.
I know. But
yeah, okay. But it's the
that's a fair shot you had at 50%. I'm saying, yes, the coin flip for the football game and any other game, yes, is a very fair thing to do. And it's probably the fairest thing in the world to do. But there is a small chance that if time stops, if the world ends right now and they count every single coin flip from the beginning of time, it's not going to be exactly 50-50,
bro. You're right. But can we just say this? It's the fairest thing you can do.
It's the fairest thing to do.
I bet. That's all I need y'all to know.
So
I'll talk about that three-side dice, some land on the side, none of that shit. It's a coin. That's it. Heads or tails, pick one.
All right. So in conclusion, we think the overtime rules probably should have changed a little bit.
But I agree.
But Tom, appreciate you sending that question in. Appreciate y'all tuning in this week. Thanks for all the support, guys. Let's keep going.
Appreciate y'all.
Appreciate it.